Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
And we're pleased to welcome back as our guest State Senator Joshua Miller, a Democrat from Cranston. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thanks for inviting me.
The state budget impasse continues with no end in sight. That's because of a dispute between the House and the Senate on the spending plan for the fiscal year that began July 1st. Our guest, State Senator Josh Miller, is one of the few lawmakers who has publicly called for legislators to come back and finish work on the budget. Senator Miller, when do you expect this impasse to end, if ever?
I couldn't predict when it would happen. As I was talking to people before we went on the air, I think the best opportunity and the most effective pressure is probably going to be from mayors.
As they feel the impact of less revenue since the state is operating under last year's budget.
Yes, and I think that'd probably be the most effective and persuasive voices on this.
Before we move on to our panel, what do you make of House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello's point that, as he describes it, the Senate tried to change the budget at the last hour, and therefore the onus is on the Senate to pass the House version of the budget?
Adding amendments to the budget is not the first time it's happened. It happened several years ago where we amended the budget and sent it back, and there was a process to reconcile that. It is unusual, but it's not unprecedented. I think that both sides should be respected for the way they feel they initiate and the way they're passionate about different parts of the budget. And it should be respected. And we hope we can move on and figure out how to respect both sides on this debate.
Well, Scott, you made the point recently that the State House looks pretty bad right now in the presence of this budget impasse. How do you see this thing coming to an end, or does it go on until next January?
Well, you know, it's remarkable. When I first went to the legislature to cover it in the 1980s, John Kiffney, the late great Providence Journal State House reporter, said, "Don't worry about what you see in public because it's all like a Moscow show trial from the 1930s. And what's remarkable here is you have leaders of the General Assembly talking openly in press releases about backroom deals and handshakes. And this is how we do business. You're showing the public publicly this is how business is done. And I'm just really surprised. Where are the good government groups? Where is Rhode Island Public Expenditure Council? Where's Common Cause? I do applaud Senator Miller for saying we ought to cut through this nonsense and come back and find a deal here. And I think it's ridiculous that these people aren't doing their jobs, that we need to have a budget done on time. And I think the senator, who's a successful small business person in this town, would acknowledge that if he did business that way, he'd be in Chapter 11.
Maureen, do you put more blame on either side of the aisle, on the House or the Senate, as far as this dispute?
I think the blame is a different story. I think both sides have legitimate arguments. The real problem here, as I see it, the underlying problem, is institutional rivalry. There's a great deal of rivalry between the House and the Senate. And the focus that has been on Nick Mattiello as the speaker, I think, has offended the Senate as a group and the leadership in the Senate. And this is the deeper issue here. It's not about the budget. It's about asserting themselves as an equal partner in the budget process. And that's where Mattiello doesn't want to go. And I think that's where the senators are coming from. So it'll be interesting to see how it's resolved.
Well, let's move on and talk about another issue. The summer meeting of the National Governors Association is taking place in Providence. One topic is the future of health care, particularly Obamacare. Many, if not most, Washington Republicans want to repeal Obamacare, but the outlook remains very unclear. Our guest, Senator Miller, is chairman of the Senate Health and Human Services Committee. How would you describe what's at stake here?
It's devastating what's at stake here. Rhode Island has an opportunity based on legislation that started in the Senate to go back to this House and Senate contrast. That has been actually had a lot of enthusiasm on the House side, too. It's a bill that I put together with the help of our staff, of course, that would permanently recognize and make into law components of the ACA into Rhode Island law so that you would always have essential benefits. You'd always have access to lifetime benefit, pre-existing condition, all the things that we feel are very, very important to stabilizing an insurance market and creating permanent access to good health care in Rhode Island. And that was a bill that we were negotiating as an example up until about 10 minutes before the House decided to adjourn.
Maureen, we know that not all of the U.S. is like Rhode Island. So what impact will public opinion have in Washington on what happens with Obamacare, also known as the Affordable Care Act?
Well, I think you're already seeing it. I think the reluctance of moderate senators and the fight that's going on between the Republicans is instructive. And the public is getting really furious. Here is where it matters. When you talk to people in Nebraska, they don't care about the Russian Fandango. But what they do care about is they want their health care. And you can see the Senate president trying to modify this. But the question is he able to do this with the conservative, with the few votes that he has? And the iteration of it that is coming out soon may strike something of a balance. And what it'll leave some things undone. But it'll be interesting to see, for example, how the governors here, they're very tepid in their support for the Republicans, in their support for the agenda, and certainly in their support for Trump. We'll see how they come in on this issue.
Scott, are D.C. Republicans going to succeed in repealing Obamacare?
Well, they're certainly going to try. It's ridiculous. They've had 8 years to do this. And what really flummoxes me is why they keep talking about freeloaders and people on Medicaid being welfare cheats, this kind of thing. It's ridiculous. First of all, in Rhode Island, as in most other states, many of these people are elderly. They're in nursing homes. And the other side of it is a lot of people working 40 hours a week for these big box stores, the Walmarts, the McDonald's, these people. The taxpayers are actually subsidizing health care for some of the biggest corporations in America because their people get paid so little and they don't have benefits. They're all on Medicaid. Some are on food stamps. It's ridiculous.
We're short on time here, but we do want to ask Senator Miller about two bills that were controversial and that did pass the legislature before the impasse. One would automatically extend municipal and teacher contracts. The other would allow an on-the-job illness to qualify police and firefighters for a tax-free disability pension. Critics say both of these bills are bad. You supported both. Why did you support them?
Well, I think they represent an opportunity to actually, as we're talking about between the House and the Senate, and how do you modify and negotiate rather than get into stalemates. And these two bills are examples of how you do that. I think the stalemate we're in now, beyond those two bills, there are ways to do that. There are opportunities to be Democrats.
But the gripe from critics is that these bills are bad for taxpayers. They will run up the cost of government. Is that a false criticism?
Strikes are bad for taxpayers, too. So I think that they're well balanced between having people seriously negotiate and having people walk out from jobs that are very important to the general public.
All right, there you have it. We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Cranston Democratic State Senator Joshua Miller.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. And if you enjoy the conversation, follow our website at ripr.org.